This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
1 hour to go on this sports Saturday, and we've got a lot of ground to cover. The Wild were in action. They got a big win over the Sabres. We have a rundown of the NCAA men's and women's basketball tournament scores with Jonathan Lowell. We've got to get an update on Lindsey Brown's trip to the North Shore. That is all coming up. But right now, we're going to talk Twins with Bobby Nightingale, who covers the club for the Star Tribune. They got beat by the Blue Jays 2-1 today in the Grapefruit League. They get the Red Sox tomorrow, and before you know it, they head north. They'll get the Cardinals starting on Thursday in the 2025 season opener. And Bobby, you've been very busy indeed. I hope you're doing well.
Yeah, doing well. Can't complain.
Yeah, good to visit with you. Here we are. It's been a long run down in Florida. I'm sure everybody's ready to leave town and get it going.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird when you hit these stretches where it's almost like everyone's kind of waiting for the real stuff to start now. You know, guys are, you know, they've played for 5 weeks, and now it's kind of, we're finally here. Guys are ready to play full games and kind of ready to turn that next chapter to figure out who the opening day roster is and all that and kind of just move on to the, you wish you could just jump forward and tomorrow was opening day.
Now, I know your colleague Phil Miller on the beat from the Star Tribune. Who draws the opener in St. Louis, you or Phil?
That'll be Phil. He's got the I've done the Clydesdales before, so at least I've seen what it's like there. But he is the first one, and then I'll meet the team in Chicago for the second series.
Yeah, there you go. And the Twins will break camp. We already heard from Chris Atterbury and Dan Gladden about how one of the trucks getting ready to leave town and all the gears. Some gear, obviously, will go to St. Louis, but most of the stuff that was hauled down from the cities making its way back to Target Field in the home opener. Bobby, let's get into some of the storylines right now. You did quite a piece on this bullpen, and it is emerging, and as it is currently structured, this could be the strength of the club.
Yeah, it could be. Last year I feel like it had stretches where it looked dominant. And then stretches where maybe at the end of the season where it kind of got wore thin with, the starters weren't pitching very long. They had three rookie starters in the rotation, probably got asked to do too much. But, when they're clicking, I mean, it's one of the best in baseball. And Fangraphs, the popular baseball website, they project them analytically to be the best bullpen in baseball by a decent margin next year. So that was kind of the genesis of the piece. And if you look at it, I mean, Joan Duran and Griffin Jacks at the back end, Cole Sands had a breakout year last year, Brock Stewart in the middle. You know, there's a lot of high-octane arms. I think Louis Varland's a huge wild card this year. I think he could be a huge difference maker. He hasn't given up a run all spring. So definitely a lot of good arms back there. And especially with their starting depth, I mean, I feel like that's definitely the strength of the team is pitching. And whether it's the rotation or bullpen, you have to feel good about them.
Yeah, and no doubt they potentially have some kids in the minor leagues that could help as well. But in the modern game, you have to have a good bullpen to be able to compete over the long haul.
Yeah, and then, you know, it's something Griffin Jacks kept kind of emphasizing was, you know, it's great they have him and Duran at the back and, you know, Cole Sands too, but it's really those middle guys that are really the difference makers between a good and a great bullpen. You know, he talked about Michael Tonkin, who's going to start the year on the injured list, but just having a guy, a veteran guy who's done it before, can pitch any role. Say Duran and Jacks are out or unavailable because they pitched two of the last 3 days or 3 days in a row. You know, he could pitch the eighth inning and you feel good about it. So, you know, I think that's where they feel like they really a difference maker is kind of the depth they have in the bullpen. And as you mentioned, I mean, some of these guys that they're going to be counting on are in the minor leagues right now. You know, Connor Prelep, I watched him pitch yesterday, one of their top pitching prospects. You know, throws 98 as a left-hander with an unhittable slider. So, you know, they have some guys that I wouldn't be shocked if they ended up in the bullpen at some point in the summer. But there's at least a lot of depth guys that can throw hard and get a lot of outs.
At the end of March, there's always a lot of optimism. But in reality, going into the offseason and turning the page and heading for 2025, they had the makings of a good bullpen and a good starting rotation. And the fact that what Simeon Woods Richardson did a year ago, but right at the top, you know, when healthy, you got to like day in and day out, the starters the Twins are going to run out there as well.
Absolutely. I mean, you know what Pablo Lopez, I feel like you can expect what he's going to give you year in, year out right now. And, you know, MLB.com had a piece the other day that said, you know, who are the top five or six dark horses for Cy Young? And it had Bailey Ober and Joe Ryan both on there. So, you know, that'd be great for Twins fans if those two pitchers both pan out this year and have good seasons. And they both definitely have the upside where wouldn't be shocked if they put it together for 30 starts and were in contention at the end of the season for an award. But, you know, if you look at, like, the good rotations, those are the ones that have the number five through eight starters that can pitch well. And, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, a lot of those Twins young guys got experience last year at the end of the season. So, you know, David Fest and Zebby Matthews will start in the minor leagues, but they are experienced when they do get the call at some point.
Yeah, they already got their feet wet and kind of got the jitters of appearing in the big leagues for the first few times out of their system. Another guy I wanted to bring up on the pitching side, Chris Paddock. Give us a feel for what they expect out of Paddock, what you expect to see out of Paddock this season.
Yeah, I think he's supremely underrated just based off the fact this is a contract year for him. He's a free agent after the season. He knows it. And you look at how much pitchers are making these days on the free agent market. He sure knows how much money he can make if he has a great season. Obviously, it's been a while since he's put it together for a full year, I think since 2019, dealt with injuries kind of every year since then. So, I mean, it's probably unrealistic to expect him to pitch 200 innings this year, but I expect him to be a solid number, you know, mid-rotation starter, number three, number four. He looked excellent his last start, ended up with, I think, seven strikeouts and four innings or something like that. And, you know, it was just every pitch he could get swings and misses on. Fastball looked great. Slider and changeup were excellent. So I think that was exciting because he was facing the Red Sox, and that was their A lineup. You know, he's facing Bregman and all those guys. And having that success, I thought that was encouraging for him. And Rocco Baldelli said it was the best he thought he's ever seen Chris Paddock. So I think there's a lot of optimism, and I think the contract year can't be understated for a guy that knows how much money's on the line each time he goes out there.
Bobby Nightingale joining us, covers the Twins for the Star Tribune, and joins us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline, and did a piece about the Twins bullpen. You should check out online at startribune.com or in the paper as well. Really, one of the biggest bummers to come out of this camp was the injury to Royce Lewis and the fact that he won't be available on opening day. What do we know about Royce? When could he be available?
Yeah, I mean, there's at least optimism that it won't be something that lingers as long as last year. Injured his quad last year and was out till June. I think there's hope that he could return sometime in April, but it's one of those, got to wait for the swelling to go down to figure out exactly how he's going to rehab this and how serious it is. And, he hasn't started doing baseball activities or anything like that yet. So still a long ways off, but I think they're at least hopeful that, you know, by mid-April, should have at least a better timeline on when he'll be back. But obviously disappointing for him. I mean, just another injury that he has to deal with. He felt like he came into camp in a great spot, was playing a ton this spring. I mean, just in terms of getting more at-bats, felt like he was improving defensively, and then obviously another injury roadblock when he was running to first base. But no timeline yet, but I'd expect sometime in April. If it drifted beyond May, that would surprise me.
So beyond that, then it became who's plays a lot of games at third base, because the thought was Royce Lewis would be at third base.
Yeah, I think it'll be Jose Miranda. You're going to see a lot there. He kind of filled that spot last year when Royce was out at the beginning of the season. Had a hip injury kind of right around the All-Star break, but if you look before that, he was hitting .325, and some of that was inflated. He had that streak where he had 12 hits and 12 straight at-bats, MLB record territory. So, but he kind of makes up for Royce's bat a little bit. I mean, Royce obviously hits for more power, but if you can get a guy on base in the middle of the lineup, I think that's what they're hoping Jose Miranda can do. And then Brooks Lee, I mean, another guy, he's dealing with a back injury. Wouldn't be shocked if he starts on the injured list himself. But another guy who, well, when he's healthy, could see him factoring in at third base alongside Miranda.
Carlos Correa struggled this spring. Is there any concern about that, or is it just, well, it's spring training, let's not worry too much?
Yeah, I think it's more the latter. I don't sense there's any concern over it. I mean, if you look at, like, the exit velocity stuff, I mean, he's still hitting balls like 105, 110 miles an hour pretty consistently. It's just on the ground, turning to grounders. He's had a few lineouts. So I don't think his stats are as bad. It's not like he's striking out every at-bat and looks lost at the plate. Obviously, you'd rather go into the season, you know, hitting hot and jumping right in. But I feel like there's always a process with him, and I feel like the Twins are kind of just shrugging their shoulders at his spring and saying, you know, we trust that he'll figure it out at some point.
So we mentioned Royce Lewis, Carlos Correa, and then we got to bring up Byron Buxton. Once again, throughout his career, climbing the ladder in the minor leagues and the major leagues, you know, when healthy, when right, that this guy can be a game changer.
Yeah, so I'm hit a 430-foot homer today to dead center. Right. I mean, like you said, when he's healthy, he performs, and fortunately, he's been healthy. I mean, if you kind of seen him throughout camp, he's not afraid to be running, stealing bases. He got thrown out yesterday or 2 days ago trying to stretch a single into a double, which, you know, you don't want your guys thrown out, but at least it's a sign of his health that he's attempting to do that. So I think he's in a really good spot mentally, just in terms of, it was the first time he really had a good off season where he didn't have to rehab the entire time. He didn't have to delay into spring training, didn't have to do running progressions and all those things. I think for his mindset wise, it was like, oh, I can finally just relax and be a baseball player again, instead of always worrying about how his knee was going to hold up. So I think mentally he's in a great place. And then physically you can see it by the way he's running that he's feeling good at entering the season.
And that could be gigantic for this team. Bobby, going into the season, how does all of this play out? We've seen players slot into it. What maybe should Twins fans be the most concerned about going into the season with this everyday lineup?
I think the offense is, you know, just the overall run production. I mean, last year, you know, they got rid of all their hitting coaches. How's the new kind of offensive approach going to translate? You know, Ty France has had an unbelievable spring, hitting almost .500 throughout spring training, but you know, the last 2 years he struggled offensively. So you know, you look at that and it's like, okay, if you lose Carlos Santana from last year and you take a step back offensively, Royce Lewis is already dealing with an injury. You know, there's a lot on Matt Wallner and Trevor Larnach's shoulders to kind of be the power sources. But, you know, those guys have been streaky throughout their career. So if they're streaky, kind of where do the home runs come from? And I think you go down a rabbit hole in terms of I think the pitching, I think everyone feels solid. You talk to scouts out here, You know, they rave about the Twins pitching, and it's just how much offense are they going to be able to generate. And, you know, if Royce and Carlos Correa and Byron Buxton all have mostly healthy seasons, I think those questions are quieted a little bit if some of those guys are hurt. And, you know, Matt Waldner goes into a long slump like he did at the beginning of last year, I think you're into more trouble.
Yeah. Well, Bobby, always good to visit with you. And once again, thanks for the time, and hopefully we can visit again down the road.
Of course. Anytime. Thanks, Steve.
There he is, Bobby Nightingale from the Star Tribune, joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. They get beat by the Jays 2-1. And by the way, they get the Red Sox tomorrow, and then there's not much left in the Grapefruit League. They play Monday, they play Tuesday, and then they head for St. Louis. They have a workout day on Wednesday, and then the season opener Thursday, Twins and Cardinals from St. Louis on Thursday, and our coverage will begin at 2:30, first pitch at 3:15, built-in day off Friday, and then, of course, back on the radio on Saturday. We'll have all 162, and we'll have more Twins coverage tomorrow, more Twins talk tomorrow. Scott Korzenowski between 10 and noon, and then, of course, the Twins and the Red Sox at high noon as we close out the Grapefruit League. And get ready for the regular season on Thursday here on News Talk 830-WCCO.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You?
The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sunny today, rainy tomorrow, and then sunny again on Monday. So all in all, not too bad. I wanted to go downriver, and I'm not going to confuse this with our regular weather report coming up here in about 5 minutes. I just wanted to go downriver real quick to St. Louis and look at the extended forecast for the greater St. Louis, Missouri area. That doesn't look good early in the week. They're going to see rain tomorrow as well. Sunny Monday, 62. This is St. Louis again. Tuesday is sunny, 69. Workout day Wednesday, sunny and 64. Thursday, slight chance of rain, sunny and 70. And then Saturday, this is not good, because game two of the season is scheduled on Saturday, a matinee. Rain likely, maybe a thunderstorm and a high near 77. So, Lindsay, we may be in rain delay mode next Saturday.
Are you going to say we're going to be on tap dance duty? Because nothing sounds better to me on a Saturday, Steve.
Well, here's the thing. Shaletta's got the day off. I'll be in at noon. Pregame scheduled 12:30. So they'll get it at 12:30. But if it's raining or the game's going into rain delay, they might do rain delay theater on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. But if it gets rained out, that's when things get really interesting.
So, yeah, absolutely. We'll be ready, Steve. We'll be prepared. We are true professionals.
Well, and that's why I'm thinking we should save the big North Shore stories until a potential rain delay. But I know you went to the North Shore. It was a big deal. How'd it go?
It was fantastic, Steve. I had so much fun. I think I finally discovered what I want to do with my life and my career, and it is called breakfast. I would just like to go to breakfast and do that at my leisure. Is it at 9:30? Is it at 10:30? Is it at 12:30? Who cares? You just go down, get me some hashy bees.
Brunch.
Get some hashy bees. You get some bacon. I'm not a huge fan of eggs right now, so I push those to the other side. Played a lot of cards, hit all the normal spots that I grew up going to, that a lot of us grow up going to. Split Rock, Gooseberry, went up to Grand Marais. The North Shore is a really special spot for me. My grandma has a almost 150-year-old cabin just outside of Two Harbors, and so we visited that as well, and that's like walking into a time capsule. So it was just a great time, really relaxing, and I'm very, very grateful that I was able to take that time.
Yeah, good times. Pancakes. Is that
I do have some pancakes. We were doing, because Steve, I celebrated a birthday a couple days ago. I was going bigger going home, and I didn't want to go home, so I just went bigger, and I was just chocolate chipping it every single day. I was like, give me at least one single chocolate chip pancake, please.
Well, and here's the thing about pancakes or French toast. I want equal parts syrup and butter on those bad boys. I like lots of real butter that kind of melts with the cakes, and then some syrup. Oh, yeah.
So you put it on top and then let it marinate a little bit. I can't support that, Steve. I can't support that lifestyle for you or really anybody, but I'm going to let you live it, because if anything gets like moist or water saturated or just liquid saturated, it's not going to be for me. I'll cut off a little piece and then I'll dip it into the syrup. That's how I
see. I like to kind of soak it. And that's why they made statins, all that butter on stuff. You know, that's why they have statins.
Statins? What's statins?
To manage cholesterol.
Oh, yeah. Is it a medication?
You're a little young for that. At some point, your doctor will say, Lindsay, have I got something for you?
Oh, that train is going to arrive early for me. Yeah, I am patient number one when it comes to probably early detection signs with something. So you'll have to tell me what that age is, and I'll just minus like 7 years.
Yeah. 5:31, quick break. We'll have an update on the weather. We'll get a rundown of the tournament scores. Quick update on the tournament scores. Then we'll visit with Jess Myers. Wild had another big win. They beat the Sabres 4-1. They add 2 points to their resume, and that gets them a little bit closer to the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. So we'll do all of that in a moment here on News Talk 830-WCCO. Wild get a win 4-1 today. And Lindsay, do we have Jez Spires now, or are we going to wait?
Let's wait on that. I got Jonathan with some scores here.
All right, let's get Jonathan. NCAA men's and women's tournament scores. We'll have Jonathan buzz through that. Then we'll get Jess Myers, talk about the win over the Sabres. 4-1 the final. The Wild get the crucial points. By the way, the Timberwolves are idle. They will take on Indiana on Monday. The Timberwolves blew out the Pelicans 134-93. Loons in action today. And late in the match with L.A., L.A. Galaxy, 2-2. Oh, late. I don't know if it's gone final. I'll find that out. All right, Jonathan, here we go. NCAA men's and women's tournament scores. 3-2-1. Go.
Thank you very much, Steve. Let's go ahead and get you to that scoreboard as we continue through day two of the women's tournament, day three of the men's tournament, first day of the second round. Let's start at the half in Denver. It is Texas A&M leading Michigan 39-35. Finals from earlier today, Purdue defeated McNeese 76-62. Big Ten stays undefeated in the tournament. Arkansas gives the first big upset of the tournament as they take down St. John's 75-66, first top four seed to lose in this field. Right now, it is about 7 minutes to go in the first half, and Texas Tech leads Drake It's 25-20. Coming up in about 30 minutes, Auburn will take on Creighton. A little bit after that, BYU against Wisconsin. Houston Gonzaga will be at about 7:40 tonight. And in the late game, UCLA taking on Tennessee at about 8:40 this evening. Let's head to the women's tournament. Day two of the first round of the women's tournament. It is about 2 minutes to go in the game. Michigan State has pulled away from Harvard, 63-48 the score there. At the half, it's Mississippi State leading Cal 26-19. Creighton coming up in about 30 minutes will take on Illinois. It'll be George Mason later tonight against Florida State. William & Mary takes on top seed Texas, and LSU will host San Diego State. Finals from earlier in the day. Number 10 seed South Dakota State moves on. The Jackrabbits upset 7 seed at Oklahoma State, 74-68. Maryland pulls away late from Norfolk State, wins 82-69. North Carolina defeats Oregon State 70-49. USC, a 71-25 winner over UNC Greensboro. UConn drubs Arkansas State 103-34. NC State defeats Vermont 75-55. Oklahoma takes down Florida Gulf Coast 81-58. Alabama is a winner over Green Bay 81-67. Iowa defeats Murray State 92-57. And West Virginia over Columbia 78-59. Division III Women's Hockey Tournament. We have two winners that will meet next week here in the metro or near metro area. Augsburg defeats St. Norbert 4-2, and UW River Falls over Elmira 4-1. That means Augsburg River Falls will meet next Saturday. Time to be determined, place to be determined, in the national semifinals, and then the national championship for Division I hockey for the women tomorrow. Wisconsin, Ohio State over at Ritter Arena. 3 p.m. face-off time for that one, as the Badgers and Buckeyes both look for another national championship.
All right, very good, Jonathan. Thanks for the update there. I want to get one quick thought on the proceedings earlier today. St. John's, Arkansas. And I know Brad Lane is our boss, and he's a big Razorbacks fan, and they won. But the post-game press conference, I read about this during one of our breaks, and one of the St. John's kids, one of their star players, was 3-17, and there's been a lot of talk about how St. John's got ripped off by the officials. If one of your top players is 3-17 from the field, I don't know how that's on the refs, but
yeah, you got to have a better performance. I think you're talking about RJ Lewis. Following the game throughout, and he is their star player. He was the Big East Player of the Year. You got to come up larger than that in that type of circumstance. 3-17 for your star player usually is not going to cut it unless you get big contributions from all of the others, and that didn't happen today for St. John's. And Arkansas, is they've rounded into form the last 5 or 6 weeks, and they're going to be a dangerous team for either Texas Tech or Drake, which is a team they will face next.
Yeah, so the Hogs move, and our boss, he's got to be a happy man right now. All right, well, we want to talk Wild. Jez Myers joins us. Jez, good to visit with you. And the Wild come up big again. They beat the Sabres 4-1, another big 2 points in the standings.
As I said in my story in the Pioneer Press, which is up online already, if anybody wants to read it, this wasn't a must-win game. This was a should-win game. Buffalo's not very good. Let's just be honest. They're one of the worst teams in the Eastern Conference. I think they are the worst team in the Eastern Conference. One of the worst teams in the league. Playing them at home, when you're finally scoring some goals, you should win this game. The Wild did. Now, it was interesting because they looked a little sleepy in the first period. I'll be honest, Buffalo probably should have had about a 2-0 lead. Philippe Gustafson, as he has been lately, and for a lot of the season, honestly, was really, really good in the first period when they needed him to be. And then the Wild came out in the second period and just woke up, quick 3 goals, and at that point the game's all but over. Because as well as this team plays defense, as good as their goaltending is, they're not giving up 4 goals at home. So then they kind of coasted the rest of the way. Important 2 points, and here's why. Number one, you're fighting for a playoff spot. Number two, look at the schedule in about the next 5 days. You go to Dallas. Dallas is really good. You're at home against Vegas. Vegas is the best team in the West. And then you're at home against Washington, which is the only team that's clinched a playoff spot. And, of course, the Alex Ovechkin hype and all of that as he gets closer and closer to Wayne Gretzky's goal record. So getting these 2 points and winning these 3 games in a row, very important for this Wild team, not only points-wise, but kind of for their psyches, because they'd gone through a stretch there where goals were really hard to come by, and they seem to have broken the seal and are scoring goals again, which is a very good sign.
Yeah, it, you know, the Wild, it is amazing over their history how many times we get into the mode of, all right, they're in good shape, they have these teams in their rearview mirror, they have this many games. If they just average a point a game, they should get in, and they're in that mode right now.
Absolutely. You know, and you look at the stats, the guys who crunch the numbers and do math and stuff that I just can't do. And I, you know, I know my own limitations. So I go to some websites that kind of crunch these numbers every day. Well, there's still like a 97% chance of getting into the playoffs. So I don't think they were ever really at risk of falling out of that race. But, you know, there were some changes. There have been some injuries. That seems like it's the way it's gone all season is guys coming in and out of the lineup. Marco Rossi leaves the last game after the first period, and nobody knows his status. He comes back and plays today. Not only plays, but he snaps a streak of 11 games he'd gone without a goal, and it seemed to be getting his groove back at the right time. And then the other guy I wrote about today, Justin Brazo, you know, who came over at the trade deadline, big guy from Boston. He had 10 goals with the Bruins, hadn't scored yet for the Wild. He gets the eventual game winner today on just a classic crash the net kind of play, using that big body of his. He's about 6'6", and that's before he puts skates on. So that was kind of an encouraging sign, too, because that's the kind of gritty, big net front player you're going to need come playoff time.
Yeah, and for the Wild, you mentioned all these games, and you go to Dallas, come back, get Vegas and Alexander Ovechkin in here, and all these home games, but it's just a lot of games in a short period of time. I mean, literally, the day's off, there's no time to practice or go over anything. It's just pretty much about rest right now.
Absolutely, and you've seen that with John Hines. You know, they've canceled their off-day practices more often than not in this last stretch they've had here where they had played their last 7 games in a row at home. And he says, it's not like we're introducing new systems at this point in the year. It's not like we're going over new stuff. You know, the guys know what they have to do. And frankly, at this time of year, rest is maybe your biggest weapon. If you can get home, if you can get around your family, if you can just rest your body, you know, all of that, that's probably the best thing you want to do right now.
All right. You brought up injuries. You and I have talked all year. And once again, we are grateful for your time, Jess, here on News Talk 830 WCCO. What's the latest on the injury front? This is a recording.
You know, John Hines had a great line. I think it was yesterday or 2 days ago at practice. We asked him how Marco Rossi was. He said, I think he's going to be fine. And then he said, but I want to hedge that because the way this season has gone, you know, I'll go downstairs. And he said, 3 guys that are out of the lineup will be fine, and 3 new guys that are fine will be injured. It's just, it's been crazy the way this season is. So Marco Rossi is back. That's fine. He missed 2 periods. He's playing great. Jonas Brodin came back this year. Now, normally that would be a big story, Jonas Brodin coming back from injury, but it's the 4th time this season he's come back from injury. So we were a bunch of the writers were kind of joking that it's kind of becoming a stale storyline. You know, Jonas Brodin is returning to the lineup because he does it about every month and a half, but I'm not making light of it at all. He's a cog on this defense. He's a veteran, and it's important to have him back, and it was good to have him back today. Absolutely. Marcus Foligno now has missed the last couple games. He's got an upper body injury. They're taking him kind of day by day. So aside with from all of that, the 2 big question marks that everybody asks about, and we kind of joke with John Hines, we ask him about it about every other day just to get the update, but Joel Eriksson Ek and Kirill Kaprizov are still out of the lineup. Neither of them has begun skating yet. So we're getting on to what, like 12, 13 games left in the season. Kind of running out of time here if these guys are going to be factors in a potential playoff run, but hopeful that they'll get back on the ice soon and things will start pointing the right direction for those 2 guys.
Yeah, and Jess, it's not like the NFL where they have these detailed injury reports. He knows exactly what's going on. In reality, in the NHL, you kind of get upper body, lower body. You get a little clue beyond that. And then really, them getting on the ice and skating on their own is the first sign. And until that happens, well, you know, being in a game is a ways off.
Yeah, it's a process. You know, first they start skating on their own. Then they start skating with the team, kind of limited in practice. Then they get to be full participants in practice. Then ideally you get back on the ice. And I'll caution people, too. We've seen this before with Kirill Kaprizov, because the way he plays, he's gotten hurt before. He's a guy who needs maybe 3-4 games to get back up to speed. So factor that in as well, because, you know, him getting back on the ice will be one step, and then him getting kind of his groove back will be another step. And hopefully we're going to see that sooner rather than later, especially as his team approaches the playoffs. That could be an incredible weapon to have. If you've got Kirill Kaprizov healthy and rested coming into a playoff run, that could be really good things for this team.
One other thing I wanted to bring up, we'll find out the men's hockey tournament, NCAA men's college hockey tournament pairings matchups tomorrow. Are you still thinking Minnesota ends up in Fargo?
The way it's looking, the four-team field in Fargo, and we're pretty well set with the field now. We kind of know who's in, who's going to be out for the most part. A couple of the lower division kind of conferences have their championship games tonight, so one of those two teams will get in. But it looks like the four teams in Fargo, in some order, are going to be the Gophers, Western Michigan, Minnesota State, Mankato, and probably the University of Massachusetts, UMass. So the way it's looking, it'll be Gophers, UMass first game, probably Western Michigan, Minnesota State in one game, and then the winners will come out of that Fargo regional. Crazy night last night in college hockey, Steve. I said this is kind of a Gopher fan's dream. Within about 2 hours of each other, Michigan and North Dakota both got eliminated from the NCAA tournament. So if you're a Gopher fan who doesn't happen to like the team in maize and blue or the team in green, it was a good night for you last night, even though your team didn't play.
One final note, women's Frozen Four, we've brought it up all day. It'll be a great Wisconsin team against Ohio State at Ritter Arena tomorrow at 3. The Badgers have dropped one game in 38 tries this year. It's extraordinary.
You know, the talk coming into yesterday's semifinal was, well, you know, it's tough to beat a team six times in a year, you know, that Gophers-Badgers matchup. Well, it's not that tough if you're as good as Wisconsin is. God, they are just a wagon of a team. And it was funny. Oh. The Wild had their morning skate yesterday, and right afterwards, the Minnesota Frost are skating. Well, of course, here come in the Ohio State players wearing their Buckeye gear. Here come in the former Badger players wearing their red. Here comes in Taylor Heisey, you know, and Grace Dumwinkle and some of the former Gophers, you know, talking about how they're rooting for their team. Kind of a fun scene there at Tria Rink yesterday.
Yeah, and it'll be a great final in the Women's Frozen Four at Ritter. It is sold out. Jets, always great, and hopefully we can visit again soon.
Always great to talk hockey. Have a great weekend, Steve.
There he is, Jess Myers, and covers the Wild for the Pioneer Press, joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Quick break. We'll come back here on News Talk 830 WCCO.